Let's bring in Michael Grange, columnist with Sportsnet. Your article on Vince Carter got a lot of people talking this morning. I was happy to read it because I think it's something that has to happen. I think it makes a lot of sense. But we got to start off by talking about Cleveland. And, you know, is Cleveland a tougher match right now for the Raptors than they were before this deal? Or these deals,
absolutely.
I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no question about it, I think, for two reasons. One is, you know, whatever kind of burden or stench or whatever adjective you want to use, that clearly there was an anchor. There's something dragging the collective commitment of that group down. So even what they had was performing so below their optimal potential for reasons beyond, you know, their ability, that clearly something had to change. And I think you got, I think by the people that were sent out, it's, you know, you get a good sense of what some of the problems were. And I think we all got them secondhand. And then what you bring in is, I think there's two elements to it. One is, you know, they're younger, more athletic, more versatile defensively. They've lost a little bit of shooting, but, you know, when Kevin Love comes back, they'll be fine there. But I think kind of the other thing is you're bringing guys in from programs where the expectations were quite low. I mean, the Lakers weren't doing anything this year. Utah has been kind of stumbling. And you know, Sacramento obviously was doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they're like, you know, it's like night and day. Like the guys who were in Cleveland were miserable and kind of burdened by expectation on that. And then the guys who are coming in are like, what? We're with LeBron now. We're third in the East. We got a chance to go to NBA Finals. Like, they're going to be jazzed, right?
Right.
And LeBron, and I think most importantly, LeBron is going to be like, yeah, okay, let's get to work. And that's a scary combination.
Yeah, and I found it. We'll be joined by Bud Shaw later on in the show and Stu Jackson, so we'll talk to them as well about this. But, you know, trying to read between the lines, I think Kobe Altman had a line about how LeBron James was on board with all these moves. Do you think the Cavaliers, I know LeBron hasn't said if he's coming back or what his plans are, but did you read between the lines and think that they kind of get the sense that there may be a path forward to him coming back now? Or are you looking at the opposite way?
I don't think so. I mean, I confess, I didn't get a chance to hear Kobe Altman's comments. So if there was some hand tipping or cap tipping going there, I'm not sure. But I would say this. I think had they done nothing, you would have sealed the fact that LeBron was leaving. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he wasn't going to stick around and, you know, spend the rest of his career in this mess, even though you could argue he's partly responsible. So there's that. But I still think at the end of the day, I would still bet there's a higher probability he leaves and stays. You know, and I think the irony of all of this is, I'm sure you pointed out, is by making that deal with the Lakers, they made it more likely that the Lakers can make a deal with LeBron. And, right. And as, you know, as interesting and promising as this makeover is, I don't think it gets them an NBA championship. It may not get them out to an NBA final, mm-hmm. You know? So when that goes down, when the season ends probably on a loss, probably unsuccessfully, does LeBron look around and go, you know what? These guys were capped out. We're got no more assets. We can't beat Golden State as it is. Boston's getting better. Philly's getting better. I've got to think of where I can go, and so the next 5 years of my career as successful as they can be. And I'm not convinced Cleveland is that place.
Michael, do you think the fact that the Celtics held or stood pat, do you think that suggests that they think Gordon Hayward is going to be back sooner than other people may think, and that they looked at things and said, you know what, don't want to give up, you know, Marcus Smart. We don't want to give up our the young guys who've played well in Hayward's absence. We got Greg Monroe in. I mean, he's 4 or 5 fouls a game if you need it in the East. That's fine. Let's just stick with what we have. When Hayward comes back, it's going to be like a pickup.
Maybe. You know, I think another way to look at it would be, is Danny Ainge isn't finished building, you know, his dream team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without, you know, you could sacrifice a few assets and, you know, make a, you know, let's say you added Tyreek Evans, sure, I mean, he would help, but he's a rental and yada, yada, yada. Or I can keep my powder dry, and if there is ever a chance to get a guy like Anthony Davis and put together a team that can be a dynasty, you know, I'm not going to sacrifice that for, you know, 3 months or 30 games of player X, right? Mm-hmm. So that'd be another way to look at it. And you know, maybe as a bonus, Hayward is closer to coming back than we all are expecting. But I can't – I'd be surprised if that was the primary motivation. I mean, even if you were to come back tomorrow, you know, how soon would he be the kind of player that could actually be a huge difference maker? I mean, that was a huge injury to come back and a long layoff. So we'll see.
The trade of Bruno in return for – you're laughing. I mean, you mentioned Bruno and people laugh automatically. Malachi Richardson, I would imagine he's going to 905. They're surprised at all that this – I mean, I think in some ways we saw this decision coming in the summer, didn't we? And just the fact that so many players have just – you know, they've rocketed by Bruno. And Bruno's still – it might take two more years, but – by that point, the Raptors could very well have five guys better than him, or certainly five guys worth waiting for compared to him.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And if I were to pinpoint, there's probably two good reasons why they moved off of Bruno. One is exactly as you say. You know, I still think there's a chance this guy's going to be an NBA player. I just don't know when. And I don't think there's an opportunity in where the Raptors are for him to, you know, he's not going to play ahead of OG Anunoby anytime soon or go down the list. So for his benefit, he's probably needs to go. This is a good time in his career to go to a team that's completely rebuilding and willing to take a chance on him as a rotation player, if that's what ends up happening somewhere. And, you know, and I think there is a technical element to this where they bring in Richardson. He's about $900,000 cheaper. That gives him that much more wiggle room under, you know, the restrictions they have financially in terms of adding a player between now and the March 1st deadline for adding bought out players or waived players. So I think that was obviously the pressing issue now.
And as you wrote today, there is a chance, or I mean, there is a way forward where that player turns out to be Vince Carter, which makes sense for a number of reasons, you know, and I was particularly intrigued, Michael, by the fact that you had a couple of players, or at least one player, when you asked them about it, say, hey, you know, it'd be welcome to hear if he can make us better. And I thought one of the key things we heard going into the trade deadline was a lot of the Raptors players stepping up and saying, hey, you know, we like what we have here. I mean, it seems to be a pretty happy, pretty stable, pretty engaged group that seems to have each other's backs. And, you know, you don't want to mess up the chemistry. And I've got to think a guy like Vince would come in, wouldn't mess up the chemistry. It's a great story. And he also, as you point out, when he was rested last year, he put together pretty good games. And he also had a decent playoff run. So there's no harm. From my point of view, there's no harm at all in entertaining this.
Yeah, I think that's the key word, is entertaining it. I mean, you know, I can. It has been discussed. Just that, but and they've discussed Vince. They've discussed some of the other players I had in that article, as they would, you know, anyone in the league right now. I'm not sure. So ignoring whether it's going to happen or not, because first of all, he has to get bought out.
Right.
Second of all, he has to be the best player the Raptors conceive as available. I think, you know, it wouldn't just be were it to happen. It wouldn't just be, you know, a story. I mean, you know, the thing, you look at quickly at Vince's numbers, he's shooting, I don't know, like 39% from the field and 35, 36% from three. Nothing spectacular, really. But on rest. You know, when he gets 3 days rest, he's only, you know, he's shooting 60% from three. Obviously, it's a fairly small sample size, but only 10 games. But you know, and I think the one thing that when they have talked about him that they like is, you know, that he's not going to be, you know, this is not a guy who's expected to carry you every night or anything like this. It's there's going to be a situation or two where, you know, it suits him. They need someone to step up, and you know, if the ball gets swung to him, he's not going to hesitate about pulling the trigger.
Right.
And regardless of the circumstance. So all of that said, you know, I don't think this is something we should all be holding our breath with. I mean, I did write that article fairly, you know, with a lot of provisos in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, he is somebody that's been talked to. It would be an amazing story. And I think how they would ultimately come to the decision, if there is the opportunity to acquire him, would be, is what they could get from him on the floor, you know, is it worth is it worth a lot of the distraction that would come, you know, because mm-hmm. he'd be such a big story. And if he comes and does really well, I mean, he takes a lot of shine from guys who've been here and earning it. And if he comes and does pretty poorly, it becomes a narrative on its own. So, you know, so I think all that's going to get weighed. And I think in the end, whatever decision is made, will be made very unsentimentally. You know, they'll be looking for the guy who can help them the most at you know, with the resources they have to acquire him.
Yeah, and, you know, as you point out as well, I mean, there are other names to keep in mind: Channing Frye, Joe Johnson, you know, just...
Marco Bellinelli. I mean, none of these guys have been bought out yet.
But right.
They're all, you know, basically the math here is you go through teams that are very unlikely to make the playoffs. You find guys, you know, veterans who are, you know, would probably welcome a change of scenery. And, you know, they go to the team, or their agent goes to the team and says, look, you know, you owe us $2 million for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
How about you give us $1 million? You save $1 million. I go to the next team. They give me $1 million. I'm whole and I get to play in the playoffs. That's sort of, you know, and the pecking order is usually, you know, the teams that are most likely in a position to win a ring, and it kind of goes down from there. So I think in the big picture, I think the Raptors, they do have a roster spot. They do have a few resources that they can throw at a player, and they would have to be a team that a veteran would look at and take pretty seriously as a team that could get to an NBA final.